Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 6. And I'm actually going to do a slight review of the last message I gave, which had to do with hearing the voice of the Lord. And in this particular passage, Jesus is very specific where he says, "But I say to you who hear." And other scriptures say that my sheep hear my voice. So he was speaking specifically to his sheep. And he was giving a comparison of both the sheep and those who are not sheep. And I'm just going to read through that briefly, starting in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 20. It says, "And turning his gaze to his disciples, he began to say, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets.'" So that's one group of people he was speaking to, right? He was speaking to those that had a relationship with him. But then he said, "Woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way." So Jesus was specifically speaking out the false prophets. But then he says in verse 27, "But I say to you who hear," and he goes through a list of things that we are to do. And what I'd like to look at this passage today in a little different perspective, I want to see this as opportunities for maturity. Okay? This is not a "you need to do this to be saved." Like Brad said, there are a lot of people saved, but they don't have the relationship with the Lord. But what is happening here is he's speaking to people that have a relationship with him, and they have ears to hear, and he's speaking to them, and he's beginning to input to them, in a sense, what he is like. Let's take a look at some of those things. Verse 27, "But I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." What did Jesus do? He came, for God so loved the world, he came because we were all his enemies. And he came and he loved on us in a very profound way. So he was telling him about himself and how he deals with that. 28, "Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." How often was Jesus cursed? And yet, I know that he prayed for them. While he was hanging on the cross, after they beat him and scourged him and nailed to the... He said, "Father, forgive them." He was praying for them. He was interceding for them. He was praying for those who had cursed him and mistreated him. "Whoever hits you on the cheek," he was smacked in the cheek several times. We know that in the account before he was hung. "Offer the other also. And whoever takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either." They stripped him naked. He was talking about some things that he went through and that he was going to go through. So here he was again giving us some information about who he was and ways that we are going to participate as we come to know him. Like Brad said, coming to know Christ is not just reading something in the book. It's having an intimate relationship with him and beginning to walk out a life like he walked out. And then we begin to experience the same things that he experienced. Right? He says, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Now, that's not to discourage us. That's just to give us some information that this is going to happen and it's going to be an opportunity for us to grow and mature. Verse 30, give to everyone who asks of you, whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. How often we just want to get even. That, really? Do you guys want to get even? Don't you always want to get even? And you don't want to give it up. You want to hold on to it, right? You want to take revenge. That's such a normal thing in our body to do that. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Sometimes we want to take two of their teeth out instead of just the one, right? So we put a little exclamation on our response. But that's not Jesus. 31, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the amount. I bet many of you have experience where you've lent money because someone wanted to borrow the money and they never paid it back. So how do you deal with that? Do you hold on to it? You try to manipulate it to get them back? You start, you know, putting a yoke around their neck? No, we got to let that go. How many things have we taken from the Lord and He just lets us go? But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. You'll be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. And see, that's the point there, that we will become sons of the Most High. Let's turn quickly to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. I think Vicki just read the beginning of this morning, right? You read from Hebrews 5? I think so. Oh, Hebrews 10, okay. Okay, starting in verse 8. Hebrews 5, starting in verse 8. It says, although he was a son, meaning Jesus, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Even Jesus himself had to learn some things. That's hard to comprehend. And he learned it through suffering. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. That was our declaration with communion today. Being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. Now there's the hearing issue again. He's speaking to people that were listening at one point, and they stopped listening. They became dull of hearing. He says, for by this time you ought to be teachers. You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracle God, and you've come to need milk and not food. And for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. He is an infant, or in Greek, it's a nepios. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So we have a comparison of two people, the infant and the mature. And that's what I believe God is after. He's after for the maturity of his body. and those are the sons. It says all creation is groaning for the sons of God, the mature people of God, to come forth in the things that God has called them to be. And that process that we go through, we've heard this so many times, that process that we go through from being a nepios and becoming becoming mature, excuse me, I keep thinking of the Greek, is telios. That process is what we're going through every single day. The struggles, the temptations, the things that come at us. These are opportunities for us to grow and mature from little babies. Right? And that process, let me give you another scripture there. Don't turn there. I'll just read this. Romans 8:28. For we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become formed to the image of His Son, so that we would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. That word conformed has the root word morphe, where we get metamorphosis. And the metamorphosis process for a butterfly, we're going from a worm to a butterfly. We're going from an infant stage to a mature stage. And that's exactly what's being described as us. We're being transformed by the renewing of our minds through all the things that are coming into our life. Just like that little worm had to go through a bunch of things in his life, he actually wraps himself up in this little cage. It's kind of odd, isn't it? But he needed that. He needed that confinement in order for him to break out and get strong and become something that flies and is gorgeous. Be transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, we're being metamorphosed into the same image from glory to glory. We're being transformed into the image of Jesus. It's a lot more than a butterfly. And that's what Wayne spoke about last week. He spoke about the glory of God. And when we go through that process, when we embrace that, and we become like Christ, the glory of God is seen. It's seen through all of us who would take that opportunity to become mature. We reveal the glory of God. Jesus, who was God, had to morph into a man. It says he became a man, and that it's the same root word where he becomes a man. He had to morph into a man and express himself through a man. And now that's what's happening with us, is now we are beginning to express who Christ is, God in a man here on earth. Okay, let's go back to Luke. Or maybe you never turned from Luke, anyway. So he goes on in verse 36. He says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. And again, what is that? Those are more opportunities for us to mature. It says of the Lord God when Moses asked to see His glory. He said, "Then the Lord passed by in front of him, proclaimed, 'The Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth.'" And that word compassionate can also be merciful. So here Jesus was expressing the heart of the Father to those who were listening to Him in that moment. And He said, be like Me. Be like My Father. Be compassionate. Be merciful to one another. Because that's who I am. But you know, that's not easy. It's not easy because it's not in our sinful nature to want to do that. But we have been buried, right? The sinful human nature has been buried. But my experience is it likes to resurrect itself from the dead once in a while. Anybody ever experienced that? That dead body want to come right back up out of the grave and pick up a bat and hit somebody over the head, you know? Yeah, Crystal's totally agreeing with that. She's like, yeah. But this is not an opportunity to, it's like a do or don't and you're going to lose your salvation. It has to do with growing up. It has to do with maturing. Because that is what all creation is groaning for. They're groaning for us to come forth. You and me and everybody else who has the Holy Spirit. It's groaning. It's coming. It's saying, come guys, come. Come, let's do this. It says, do not judge. Now, I gave a message a couple of weeks ago saying there is a place for us to judge. In Corinthians, it says, for what have I do with judging outsiders? He's talking about outside the church. Do you not judge those who are within the church, but those outside God judges? Remove the wicked man from yourselves. There is a place for us to judge, but I believe that what is being spoken here is our, my typical response is a lot of times I just look at a person and I begin to pass judgment. You know, I start saying things in my mind. I'm trying to put a label on, and I don't even know these people. Have you ever done that? It's like you just look at somebody, you start labeling them. That's immaturity. That's what it is. The mature man won't do that. They'll grab that thought captive to the obedience to Christ and throw it down where it belongs, in the garbage. Because in John it said, God did not send His Son to judge the world, but that the world might be saved. And it says that those who don't receive Him, they're already judged, so we don't have to deal with that at all. That's not our responsibility. It's only God's responsibility to make those kinds of judgment with regards to salvation. I'm hearing more and more testimonies of parents who got saved on their deathbed. You know, they were rebellious. They didn't, you know, they didn't like what their kids were doing, and the kids were just persistent to share the gospel with them, and there they are on the deathbed and they received the Lord, you know? So we just never know when that time is going to happen. It says, do not condemn. First we judge and then we condemn them, right? You're a sinner, well, you need to go to hell. I mean, that's what the Bible says, right? But that's just immaturity on our part, on my part, when I do those things. We're acting like kids, because that's what kids do. They go up, they smack each other, they pick fights. I was just down at the park yesterday with my granddaughter, and all the kids are playing around. A couple of kids were just like coming up behind guys and said, just started punching him in the back. Say, hey, you want to fight? You want to fight? He's like, what the heck is that for? Because he's a nepios. He's a little baby. He's a worm, you know? He's a male. You'd be surprised. Watch some of those girls out there, too. They're pretty tough. Right? Catherine's shaking her head. Yeah, they're tough out there. These are all opportunities for us to grow and mature. And it doesn't take much in hearing from the Lord, especially when it's right here. It says, this is the way I am. This is the way you should, you know, try to mature into, right? And I'm talking to you who are already saved. We already have a relationship. You're hearing my voice. Not too many people having smiles on their faces now either. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Right? We can. We have the ability to make the right choice. We have the ability to mature. It says pardon and you will be pardoned. That word pardon means to release and send away. And what a beautiful picture. In Matthew, it says, now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release or to pardon for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, who do you want me to release for you? They said, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ. But the governor said to them, which of the two do you want me to release? And they said, Barabbas. I wish someone would do a movie on Barabbas. They did? Recently? I just can't imagine what was going through this guy's mind who was ready to go to the cross and he gets released. He may have already been beaten like Jesus. I don't know, but you know. And here he is standing in front of these people and they said, yeah, get rid of Barabbas. We want to kill Jesus. It makes me think of the Day of Atonement. I don't know if it's a true parallel, but there were two goats in the Jewish feast, which was just Yom Kippur, just this past week. They had two goats, and they rolled dice. What do they call that? They cast lots or something like that. They cast lots for which one was going to go free. And in a sense, that's what the king was doing. Hey, which one are you going to take? And they said, send one off, and they kill the other one. We have and will have those opportunities. When someone has really come against us and done something wrong, would we have the heart to pardon them and to release them of the guilt and the shame of something they may have done to us or maybe have done to our family, right? Will we do that for them? And will we be like Christ to them? Will we exhibit who God is in those circumstances and release them? You know, one of the biggest strongholds in life is unforgiveness. And when we don't forgive somebody, we're actually holding on and we're not only captivating the person who did something against us, but we're doing the same to ourselves. We're holding on to this thing that's just biting at us, it's eating at us, and it's tearing us down, and it's just affecting other decisions that we have. But when we pardon that, we all get released. And we become free. And we have the peace of God. Again, more opportunities. Excuse me one second. There's no Dan here today. By the way, Dan has the flu. And he was scheduled to share communion today. Okay, now we're going to end in the last section. Back in Luke chapter 6. Oh yeah, I forgot the thing about giving. It says, let me read that again. There's something really stuck out to me the other day. It says, give and it will be given to you. This is verse 38. Give and it will be given to you, and they will pour into your lap good measure. It doesn't say God. It says they will pour into your lap. I want to just tell you a quick story that happened recently in the city of Kingston. Many of you know that there is a dinner on every Wednesday night at the former First Baptist Church, which is now called Crossroads. And they've been giving and giving and giving to the community probably for 25 years. This dinner has been going on. We've participated in the last 15. But someone from the community came up to Frank Vernal. And he says, I really appreciate the work you're doing in the community, and I want to be able to supply all of the dinners with all the meat. He's a butcher. He said, I can give you 100 pounds of meat a week. That's a lot of meat. How many pounds do we use for our dinner? 50? Yeah, so it's about half that. We probably don't need that much. But in any case, so that's what happened. We poured out into the community, and guess what? The community is now dumping it into our lap to give even more. They said, you know, just give it out. If you have too much, just give it out. The guy said, I'll even give you a freezer to put it in so you don't have to store it somewhere. So he's possibly going to bring a freezer there, store it, and it will just be food for the community. Isn't that cool? Because that's what the Lord does. What's that? Oh, the Texas Roadhouse is now giving them rolls. If we give, you know, we always have opportunities to give. And it says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And I just encourage you to give cheerfully. And if you're not cheerful in giving, don't give, you know. But just give cheerfully because you can't go wrong. You just can't go wrong. All right, now we're going to go into the section here with the parables. Verse 39, and he also spoke a parable to them. He says a parable, but I'm seeing four parables here. And the first one says, a blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into the pit? So I thought about this. And I was just thinking that God was warning these people that were attentive to what he was saying, right? He gave them a comparison at the beginning. He began to tell them how he was, how the Father was. And I believe these four parables are warnings for people that believe. And I think the first one, it says, beware of those whom you are following. Because some people are blind. They're not following the light. They're following the darkness. So spiritually, they're blind. And if we follow or listen to their counsel, right? Guess what? They're going to fall into the pit. And guess who's going to go in with them? Us. Okay? A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? They will both fall into the pit. Second one, verse 40. A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. Right? So be aware of those who are teaching you. Are those from whom you receive instruction, are they like Jesus? Because it says that they will be like their instructor. So if someone is being instructed who is teaching you and they're behaving like Jesus, then I would stick listening to them. But they may be saying things to you and yet their lives do not demonstrate Jesus at all. I would not listen to that voice. I would not listen to those teachers. That's where discerning voices are. We need to discern those. And if the ones whom you receive instruction are like Jesus, you've made a mature decision in becoming sons and daughters of God. It's that simple. When we make these choices of who we listen to, we either stay a worm or we mature. The next one, verse 41. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. Beware of how you give instruction to others, because that's what the person is doing. He's wanting to give instruction of how to take that speck out when you got a log in your own eye. Are you approaching the situation knowing your spiritual condition before you were saved? I'll read that again. Are you approaching the situation where you may be giving counsel? And are you doing it with the understanding of where you came from? Now let me give you an example. When I was a young Christian, you know, I got saved and I knew everything. Right? We knew everything. I'm saved. But yeah, God is great and you need Him and you're a jerk and you're a sinner and you need to repent. Right? I'm sure that really encouraged that person to repent, you know. But that's what we do. But I totally forgot where God saved me from, right? And so as years go by, I've become, I think, a little more mature in how I approach a situation like that where I would share the gospel with somebody. I would try to discern in the spirit, Lord, what are you saying here? I wouldn't just blab it out, you're a sinner, I'm saved, you need to be like me. Right? And unfortunately, that's what happens with young Christians because they're still this developing worm. They just blab it out. Now, they did speak some truth, but there was no grace in it. It was just slapped them in the face with the gospel. Let's hope they didn't lose two teeth in the process. Are you treating your pupil in the same way Jesus treated you? If you are, you're becoming sons and daughters of the living God. God was so patient. I mean, so patient with me. He was so gentle. And so I need to do the same with others. I need to be patient. I need to wait. And sometimes I get impatient. Because you want to see fruit. You want to see something happen. You want to see their lives change. Because you know as soon as they do that, everything's going to be wonderful. But truth of the matter is, no. They got to come into the kingdom and pick up their cross. And they got even more problems. But that's the reality of the kingdom. We come to lay our lives down. Right? He laid our lives down for us. Let's take a look at that real quick. How many can quote John 3:16? Raise your hand and I'll call him. Frank. What's your name? Hank. Can you speak up a little louder, sir? Okay. Yes, you did. Now, who knows what 1 John 3:16 says? Find it in your Bible, stand up and read it. Just remember this. This is a great little tool. 1 John 3:16. We come into the kingdom to lay our lives down for everybody else. And when we begin to understand that, when we begin to grasp that, guess what? We become mature sons of the living God, and we begin to look like Jesus. And if we look like Jesus, we're going to look like the Father. Giving up our own rights, giving up our own wills, our own desires for the glory of God. Because what He has in store for us cannot compare to any of the stuff that we have here on this earth. It is so awesome. Okay, the final section here, back in John chapter 6. Yes, Luke, thank you, sir. How I need the body of Christ. Verse 43, there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of his evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. This is a warning, I believe, to beware of the company that we keep. What kind of fruit are they bearing? Are you listening to what is coming out of their mouths? Because that's basically what it's saying. And so the warning for us is hang around people with good fruit and not bad, rotten fruit. When we do that, we become mature. We become sons and daughters of the living God. And we exhibit His glory. Well, guess what? That's it. Thank you. I would just like us all to stand and let's pray together. And I'd like to encourage you to pray. I would just like to pray for each other. so that we as a body could be encouraged by each other. And because we're all in this process together. No one is exempt. Not one Christian is exempt in this process. We've all started out as a worm. And we're being transformed to look like Jesus. And I know how often I personally just need encouragement. How I need help to continue on and to press on in working through these things and making a choice to embrace the opportunities that come my way, where I can make a choice to be like Christ or be like a child. So let's just pray for one another. And then if you have something you want to share for us, to pray for us, just encourage us all to do that, okay? Father, I just want to thank you that you are gracious, you are compassionate, you are slow to anger, you're full of loving kindness and truth. And you came, Lord. We say it all the time, you came because you wanted to reveal yourself. And Lord, as we get to know you, we see things that are not right in our own lives. We see the resistance. We feel the resistance. We have the thoughts to contradict some of the things that you're telling us. And Lord, I'm just asking for help. That you would help us all, Lord, because you said that all creation is groaning for us to come forth, Lord. And Lord, I just desire for every one of us to come forth in victory. To be your sons and to be your daughters here on earth, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus.